Hey, I've seen Jack White several times, White Stripes, and then when he joined the Rankin' Tours. Awesome, man. Just so different than everybody else. They're like, oh, he's not talented. Let's see you try and do what he's doing. Just something about that guy. And we always thought that it was his sister, but that was his wife, and then they got divorced, but poor Meg. Anyway, back to reality. And I want to talk a little bit about what people can expect when you open a can like that, you know, where you go after the people that should be responsible for transparency, which is a word I really hate, right? Because everybody likes to use it, but they don't really apply it, do they? I mean, everything you do in life, if you're a citizen, you're held accountable. You cause somebody's death one way or another, you're held accountable. And lots of times, you know, an accident is one thing where, you know, maybe it's not going to be criminal. And then you have, you know, insurance and you have civil litigation to, you know, pay for the damages. But that's what Republicans want to do with our tax dollars, is use that to pay off litigation that should be paid by people that are not doing their jobs, man. I don't care what it is, you know, whether it's law enforcement or DNR rules that we watched just get destroyed over the last 20 years, basically. And we're still going down that road. But what you can expect when you push back against, say, legislators and law enforcement and public officials, you can expect that they're going to try and tarnish your name.
Yep, they'll discredit you.
They'll come to your job and, you know, make a fuss that, hey, you know, we heard you did this or that. And we watched that with, you know, the arrests at the Capitol with the sing-along. And I don't know if you didn't get arrested, did you?
Mm-mm.
Well, you really don't have a criminal record. You had any speeding tickets or anything?
One.
Oh, one?
Yeah, it was uncontested. We were going a little too fast.
They're going to have a hard time, you know, getting you in trouble. Me, on the other hand, I got to, you know, kind of watch my P's and Q's.
And you know what? I think that's one of the biggest problems for somebody, you know, when we deal with the issue of advocacy and you've got someone who has a record. It doesn't really matter what it is. They know how to exploit it. They're always looking for an angle that they can go after. And, you know, that was the issue with me with the union. You know, I mean, they wanted to say I was harassing them, and they effectively go after your free speech. They go after your credibility with your friends. And clearly, if you run into trouble with some of these groups, they have the ability of making sure that the example they make out of you is going to be something that other people observe, and they simply will not stick their neck out. So you mentioned earlier about, you know, expecting phone calls back from people. They don't call you back. And and one of the things that I know about the Devil's Advocates audience is that they at least interact to the point where they get on the phone and they voice their opinions. And we'd like to see a little bit of that, but the important thing is you can't just leave it at that. You got to offer yourself up for advocacy. And if you're a person who has a very clean record, we're definitely looking for those applicants because they're the most effective. They have the ability to go to those issues and address them with the public and with officials and do something.
Gentlemen, since we've been on the air...
The convention?
There's some breaking news from the Republican convention.
Oh, boy.
Speaker Robin Foss has announced who the attorney in charge of the fraud election investigation, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman.
Oh, wow.
Boy. Yeah,
what
yeah.
What a loser.
He's
your man, Michael
Gableman.
I blew the vuvuzela at him while he was in his car leaving one day. I never felt better because he pretended like it didn't bother him, but I know.
It did.
I know.
Do you want to hear the prior
yes.
statement from Gableman?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone here can think of everything, can think of anything more systematically unjust than a stolen election. He told that to the audience in the Serb Hall parking lot November 7th of 2020. That was Gableman's statement.
Well, he's the expert. I know that some elections were stolen in Wisconsin, okay? I'm not an idiot. But I also think that it's done in within the Democratic Party too. You know, I mean, they used to joke about, you know, Chicago politics and stuff like that. But we know already.
Define what that means, though. Pizza box.
What's that?
When you think the Democrats are stealing elections, what's that mean?
Okay, well, how about putting your thumb on the scale in a primary when you know that, you know, on the issue, 70% of the country's behind it, okay? And I consider that...
But that's...
Yeah, that's not the same as ballot box as, and things
yes,
like that.
That's different than ballot it box is. Stuffing or having the supposed Chicago machine turn them out or bringing in buses of out-of-state voters. To the best of my knowledge, dude, and you know, it's only been a decade for me, but I haven't seen any sort of electoral malfeasance other than a van whose tires got stabbed in Milwaukee once upon a time.
Right. No, I what I think it is theft of the people's voice, and that's obvious, okay? And whenever you're going to, you know, put your thumb on the scale because you have the media or you're the former president or you were an activist in the 60s fighting for, you know, you got beat up standing up for civil rights, it doesn't mean anything if you're not applying that same thing you were doing back then today. And I've seen it too many times in the Democratic Party. This is why we get our asses kicked, is because when you have an opportunity, for some reason, there's always somebody there obstructing it. And it just reminds me that, you know, of Clanchin, Joe Manchin, being just, how is he any different than Mitch McConnell with this BS talking about, well, he wants people to know this, and we didn't vote for you guys to hear your voice. We want you to be our voice. And I think it's happening all over the country where how are we going to get Republican voters to not slit their own wrists with the horrible leadership they have? And how are we going to get loyalist Democrats to wake up and start putting in more progressives like you just saw happen in New York City, right? I mean, there's a movement going on. Sure, AOC's out there. You know, that's because these people are ahead of the crowd, man. I've never... wanted to give New Yorkers and people in New Jersey as much credit as I give them for knowing a lot about politics, right? And seeing this, and they're just like being real about it. I don't know. I think this is going to be the turn that we're looking for. But I'm happy to see you got we've got Nick on the air, conservative Nick, and I think all of us have met Nick. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Hey, you know what I was telling Slammer before we came in? I said, I think I'm going to go down to State Street and do that open mic comedy one of these nights.
I haven't done that in a while. But,
ooh, I heard crickets. I heard crickets. You don't think I'll do very well, okay? Well, then I won't go in there too overconfident, but go ahead, man.
Okay, yeah. I think what you were saying before is that, you said, obviously, an election was stolen. Keep in mind that Trump is saying the exact same thing.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, but I'm willing to say that it's not the same technique that they're using. That they're, you know, that they're using their influence and their money and their power to close out on, like, a lot of people can't even get on a ticket because they can't get the money. So we know that money is the problem in politics, right? And it's never going to be out as far as I can see. Because once you get in and you get a taste of that, if you're not somebody that's for the people, you're for yourself, right?
I think we have to agree to disagree here because I think that yes, money will always be there. It will always be there.
I come from a day where it was, you know, publicly funded, you know, dollar for dollar, and then you had equal airtime, you know, that's all gone, Nick. You can't deny that there's a equal opportunity for, say, my voice versus, you know, somebody else that has a conservative program and all this money and a lot of power and a big tower, bigger tower than Crudy's tower.
Okay.
Hey, man, don't be making fun of the size of my tower. Only my wife can do that.
Right? Well, go ahead, Nick.
I just think that here's the crux of what I'm saying is that I think that liberals, they always see voter suppression. Conservatives always see voter fraud. It's both of their boogeymen.
Well, it's not a boogeyman look, I'm sorry, but like when you see like 20 states legislating to make it harder to vote against people that obviously aren't going to be in their party for the most part, and they even exclude some of their own voters by doing that, then they probably never come back till some clown like Trump comes back, and then they come out of the woodwork because they feel smart because here's the dumbest guy that's ever held office, right? And the whole Republican Party behind him. Don't you remember the primary, Nick? Where they just, you know, oh, Walker, I'm going to step aside. So I don't think the problem's with liberals, because I'm a tree-hugging liberal and damn proud of it, man. But go ahead. We got 40 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. You know me. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I just think that, you know, the bottom line is, you know, most elections, they're very well, you know, looked at.
Well, this one was. So, it was one of the cleanest ever, Nick. And I'll tell you what, if you're still a Republican, you're a Trump supporter, buddy. Thanks for calling, man. Nope. We got a break.